Welcome everyone to another edition of the Pick and Pop, episode 6 of this new and improved season. Steve Chalmers back in the studio once again with Craig Freeman to dissect another week of Aussie Hoops. Craig, how's it been?
It's been a busy week all over the world in the basketball world. We've seen some big performances, some awesome games in the NBL and WNBL this season, and also some unfortunate news as well that we'll touch on a little bit later.
Absolutely. Stay tuned to pickandroll.com.au every Tuesday evening if it's your go-to destination for the Pick and Pop podcast. Search iTunes, subscribe, rate 5 stars, comment. You can also find us on Spotify and Audio Boom. And of course, if you want to interact with us, we're on Twitter at @CP_Chalmers or at C Freeman. That's S-E-E Freeman on Twitter. We'd love to hear your feedback, comments, questions, anything in the world of Aussie Hoops. But as always, each and every week, we start it up with Light It Up. Just as the introduction explains, Light It Up, we like to highlight and just give a pat on the back to some of the individuals who really did light it up in Aussie Hoops this week. We've got some from the NBL and WNBL this week. But before we go into it, Craig, I just want to touch on a couple of honourable mentions. I don't think they quite make the Light It Up segment because they didn't really go nuts in terms of the statistical categories. But the first one is from the Perth Wildcats, and it's Tarico White. He missed a number of games through injury. Returned this week, was meant to return last week, just missed, returned this week, and he just slotted in so seamlessly.
Yeah, and good timing for him to pick up the slack with Cotton going down as well. He hit a massive dagger three. Looked like Cotton's game winner from a couple of weeks ago. Actually, they really needed that big shot. I think that's what they're looking for out of him. You know, they had Tokono last year, who might have been a better athlete and maybe as good of a player, but he couldn't do a play like that at the end of the game. It was always Cotton-centric, and this gives him another element. He looked really good since slotting back in. And the other one that I think you want to touch on is Romani Man Moore.
Yeah, that's right, from the Adelaide 36ers. I know a lot of fans showed some disgust when they cut Adris Deleon and they were looking for a guard, another guard. They decided to go against that and signed Demetrius Conger, who looks to be a very exciting signing. We've seen what he did with the Illawarra Hawks last season. But it just put question marks on the guard rotation in Adelaide, and it looked like we were seeing a lot of Nathan Sobey at the point guard position. But I just love seeing Ramon Moore handle the basketball up and down the floor, and he's turned himself into a little bit of a hybrid point guard.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think last year both these players wouldn't have played that much point guard at all. Think about how much point guard Sobey would have played, maybe 5 minutes a game last year, 10 minutes a game maximum. Moore probably hasn't played point guard in, or since he's been in the NBL, I'd say. From he's handled the ball a little bit, but he definitely hasn't played point guard. So they've really been able to slot two guys in. I think we kind of knew Sobey would be able to do it. He's shown it in the past. But Moore is an interesting one, and they really needed another guy who can handle the ball when Sobey's on the bench, and he stepped up, and it looks like a nice fit going forward, especially after picking Conger up.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to the WNBL. Kelsey Griffin for the University of Canberra Capitals. Has she had a great start with her new club? It's incredible that we're seeing the same names pop up week in, week out with this segment in the WNBL. So there's certainly a big case for a certain number of individuals in the WNBL to be WNBL MVP candidates, and Kelsey Griffin is certainly one of them. 16 points, 18 rebounds, and a couple of steals on the weekend. The next name, Lindsay Allen from Melbourne. We touched on her a lot last weekend. The best point guard in the WNBL, and the NBL-WNBL duo both come from Melbourne. I still agree on that.
Could be the best import in the WNBL as well right now.
Lindsay Allen. Certainly could be. 24 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. They lost that game. They backed it up, defeating the Adelaide Lightning, and she had 18 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and a trio of steals in that game. Hey, how about the overtime game between the Bendigo Spirit and the Townsville Fire? I know overtime certainly means a few more stats and a few more interesting plays, but There was a trio of stars that did damage.
Yeah, Beck Tobin for Bendigo put up 26 points and 19 boards, had 4 blocks as well as 4 assists. Bakovic continued her stellar run of play with 25 points and 16 boards, had 4 blocks as well. And Tess Madgen with 15 points, 14 assists and 3 steals.
Saw Tess Madgen picked up the WNBL Player of the Week too in that game. Had 0 turnovers to go with those 14 assists. So hats off to the Opal.
Maybe she heard us say who the best point guard was in the comp last week.
Had something to say about that. Moving on to the NBL, Nick Kay had himself a weekend for the Perth Wildcats. 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals in the W in New Zealand. They went back home without Bryce Cotton. 22 points, 13 rebounds and 5 assists. They got the back-to-back wins over New Zealand. Jerome Randall and Casper Ware, I'm going to put them in the exact same conversation, under the exact same line, because they went toe-to-toe in Melbourne on the weekend.
Yeah, and it was one of the most exciting matchups of the season so far. Randall had the 35 points. Ware had the 23. He had 4 boards and 5 assists as well. It's always fun seeing those two guys go head-to-head. It's even more fun when both the teams are good, and we got an absolute stellar of a game.
Well, my favourite part was Jerome Randall knew exactly what the circumstances were. He had 35 points, didn't grab a rebound, didn't have an assist. He just knew he was getting buckets.
He's able to do that now because of how good their wings and Bogut is passing the ball. He can play more as a scorer and he doesn't have to set up plays as much. You know, you got Lish and Newley's quite good passing the ball as well.
Let's move forward. Let's touch on some basketball on our shores and a couple of major topics throughout the week. Tasmania's Southern Huskies, which was the Tasmanian bid to join the NBL and become the newest franchise. And obviously we know now that the South East Melbourne Phoenix took that slot in the NBL for next season. But this Southern Huskies group, they're set to join the New Zealand NBL, which is during the off-season.
Yeah, it's a really interesting decision and way that the club is moving. I assume their long-term plan is show how successful and stable they can be in that competition and then make the step up. It's obviously going to be very tough to do because you have to make a competition leap, and I think the issues that prevented them from signing or from getting the license this year are probably going to be the same issues down the road. They're going to have to show some really strong crowd and promotional work in the New Zealand NBL, which is going to be tough because how many people are interested in the New Zealand NBL on the Australian shore?
Well, that's exactly right. There's no knowledge about the New Zealand NBL in Australia. And it's certainly, from New Zealand's point of view, it's really interesting because New Zealand NBL CEO Ian Potter confirmed those discussions between the two parties had been ongoing. The Huskies' inclusion into the competition anticipated to be signed off within the next fortnight. He said, "We've been in discussions about the possibility for some months. We're hopefully not far away from being able to make it happen." Now, obviously, it's the geographical positioning of Tasmania that's probably the biggest concern.
There's probably not the most expensive payrolls in the New Zealand NBL. Obviously, it's going to be tough for the less financially well-off teams to travel to the Huskies, and vice versa. The Huskies are going to be traveling every second week a fair distance as well. That's a lot on flights and accommodation and the like.
Oh, that's right. They were being mentioned that they'd have to play double, if not triple headers, when they were flying over to New Zealand. You mentioned the less financially well-off franchises, Taranaki Mountaineers, Manawatu Jets. Obviously, in terms of Australians, the most well-known team over there is the Southland Sharks. They've won a number of titles in the past or recent times, and they've certainly had the majority of the high-level and elite New Zealand talent. And so you look towards the Huskies. New Zealand NBL has been a breeding ground for New Zealand talent, and there's obviously an expectation within their competition to develop that New Zealand talent. So for the Tasmanian team, they're obviously not going to be in that same boat having to develop those New Zealand players.
Could they still be forced to under a league mandate? If it's a full league push and mandated, then maybe they will have to, or maybe they'll have to develop Tasmanian players.
Well, that could be something in their contract or upon entering the competition, as they have to develop some local talent, obviously local being Tasmanian.
It's also going to be interesting if they have a bigger payroll, which if they're expecting to make the NBL eventually, they have to have more money available than the NBL New Zealand teams. Does that mean they're bringing in better imports and they're going to dominate the competition? Because what happens if they win? in New Zealand. Is that tougher than people in New Zealand to stomach?
Well, that's exactly right. There could be mixed reactions in the New Zealand NBL circles. The threat of the Australian team winning their national league, I mean, that certainly won't go down well. We know the rivalry between the two countries, but you see one Australian team enter their country's national
league.
They've
won our league before, so.
Multiple times. And you know how well that's gone down with some Australian NBL fans. And, of course, from a New Zealand point of view, there's not too much representation from the Upper Island, the Upper North Island. So there'll be mixed reactions in terms of going straight to Australia and Tasmania in particular, instead of trying to make sure that they're continuing their island and their country's development in basketball.
You've got to think there's something in it financially for the New Zealand NBL, because otherwise, where's the upside for them bringing a team like this into the competition? They have to see either a direct monetary increase or maybe an increase in sponsorship and promotion getting onto the Australian market. That's where I assume they're coming from, and it can only help the league if it does generate more money, but it's going to be interesting to see how they balance that with keeping the fans happy and keeping the other teams happy as well.
And then you look on the flip side. Obviously, Tasmanian Southern Huskies have gone and tried to venture themselves into the New Zealand NBL. What about some options on our shores? Was there anything on offer for the Southern Huskies after being denied the NBL entry?
Well, the next best league moving forward is probably the new Basketball Victoria Elite League, and I don't watch too much New Zealand NBL, but I'd assume it's probably a slight step down from that. But and also, they'd only have a men's program theoretically, which the new elite league has men's and women's programs. So it does make a little bit of sense being close and being able to challenge themselves at a level that isn't as high as the NBL, but it's probably as close as they can get at this point.
That's correct. The inclusion of the Elite League, you must have both men's and women's teams. So that's something the Huskies don't currently have. Speaking of women's teams, the Adelaide Lightning have released some news over the past week, and it's not good news in terms of the Lightning's future. They potentially could be facing extinction from the WNBL.
Yeah, and the way the team found out is just horrendous. 2 minutes after a 2-point loss to the Melbourne Boomers in opposing changing rooms, Adelaide Basketball confirmed to them that they would be seeking a significant investment just to keep the club alive, needing up to $500,000. It's no small amount. There's a couple of people that are there trying to pitch it to, but they're really on their last legs, and this has to get through. The Australian Basketball Association have said they would consider stepping in and paying the Lightning players for the rest of the season, should the club be unable to. However, the club have stated that they will fulfil the remainder of this season, at the very least.
Interesting discussion point, this one, obviously. Adelaide Basketball had bought the licence off their previous owners only a couple of years back, I think, and I think they've spent up to $1 million over the last 24 months. And you look at their pitch, it's free basketball. It's free entry for fans to come and watch the Adelaide Lightning play in the exact same arena as their Adelaide 36ers play. And surely that devalues the game in terms of South Australian basketball.
Yeah, at a certain point, I know it's good to keep the costs low to get the families in, but at a certain point, if it's free, why would someone value it? You know, like even going down to watch, you go to watch Big V, which is the Victorian State League, for those that don't know, you've got to pay $2, $5 entry. Why would you value an elite league with elite players and the most successful team in South Australia over the last 15 years? I think it was voted recently in one of their newspapers. How could you not set a value? And how could you not set a value that shows fans how much they should appreciate going to? It doesn't have to be insane prices, but going to watch good basketball for $20 isn't too much to ask.
Well, that's right. You look at some of the other clubs around the WNBL doing some really great things. You know, the Townsville have obviously started putting together a really great club up there. The Melbourne Boomers are starting to get it all together. Dandenong Rangers, Bendigo Spirit, even in, you know, rural areas such as the Spirit, they've got a business plan together and rallying the town around their women's team. I know the Adelaide Lightning have a 6-week strategy, which was presented towards both Basketball Australia and the league. You know, it's respective clubs to find a buyer. But, you know, if all else fails, the Adelaide Lightning will be no more.
You know, you look at some of the other teams around the WNBL, the Dandenong Jayco Rangers charge $18 for adult admission. It's not crazy expensive, but they're setting a price. The Boomers have regular seating that ranges from $10 to $50. I know they have a little larger of a stadium, so you can be further away, but that's a reasonable range, $10 to set up the back of the stadium.
I think the Adelaide Arena would be bigger than where the State Basketball Centre, where the Melbourne Boomers play. So surely you can put a price to these tickets, especially when it's the same company pricing the men's competition.
Look, at this point, we are hoping for someone to step up and really help out the club, because it's at this point in time, it's probably going to be a selfless bid. You've got to be into this to try and help the team, because it's tough to make money in this market, which is sad, but it's going to take a lot of hard work if you want to make this a profitable association or club. Mm-hmm. You've seen a team like the Melbourne Boomers go from pretty dire straits and
the same situation, of extinction.
But you look at them now, but it's been year after year after year of really hard work, and they're finally at a point where they're profitable. That's the amount of time and work that it will take, and they just need someone to step up, and like what's happened with the Boomers, they need someone to step up and put the time and money in.
Yeah, correct. We hope that all is well in the future for the Adelaide Lightning. Hey, back onto some brighter news. Nathan Jawai is back in the Australian Boomers squad. He replaces Angus Brandt, who will stay at home just to rehab that ankle of his. Now, Australia play Iran and Qatar over this coming weekend. The NBL has a FIBA break. First off, Nate Jawai, great to see him back in the yellow and green. Yeah, green and gold.
He's been in great form and really well deserved his last few weeks. I thought he's looked really good. He's looked healthy all season, which is great to see as well. What are your expectations against Iran and Qatar?
Well, these two games are at Margaret Court Arena, both going to be housed in Melbourne, Australia, for these two home games. It's the fifth period of these FIBA World Cup qualifiers. To my knowledge, there's no interest in this.
There could be less people at this than there was at Adelaide's last home
game. Well, I know that Adelaide was averaging about 250 people a game. I'm sure the Boomers will break that. But I'm telling you, I don't think it's going to be much more, because they've switched up the setup where they used to just play New Zealand in the Oceania region. They've gone to Asia. It's meant to be this big thing where there's more basketball more often. But until it starts to get serious, I don't think many basketball fans in Australia care. They just expect to win these games and really tickle on with it.
Yeah, there is more basketball and it is on more often, but at a certain point, you're not playing China everywhere. Like, China could be an entertaining game to go see, but even that, you're going to win.
Well, that's
you should
right.
expect to win. But
they came down under, not that long ago, and there was only, a half average crowd. But until you're getting, bigger and more competitive teams, I think if these guys become more competitive, it might be a different story. Like, I know we lost to Japan by a point not too long ago, but
I'd rather watch New Zealand versus
Australia absolutely
every week at this point.
And plus, it helps that with the New Zealand guys, that most of them play in the NBL, so there is a relationship there, and you understand who these players are. Who plays for Iran?
You still have players like Ty, does Ty represent New Zealand?
I don't think so, but Shea Ely, Corey Webster, Tom Abercrombie, all these guys suiting up for the Tall Blacks. But that's the thing. You come to the game, you watch Iran, you're watching Person X and Person Y, because you've got no affiliation with them. Qatar will come back on Monday night, and the expectation is to win by 30, but no one will know who we're playing against. There's not that much build-up, and there's not that much relationship building between the opposition.
Yeah, I think the problem with this is FIBA's gone for a one-shoe-fits-all.
Yeah, correct.
And in Europe, this would be awesome. Imagine if you're Italy and you're playing France, and you're Spain and you get to go up against Argentina or something like that, but it doesn't work for the Asian region. It doesn't work for Oceania, who are built into the Asian region. Now, it probably doesn't work for the Americans that well either, because who's going to go watch USA play Puerto Rico?
Yeah, correct. And for USA, they can easily play their 18th team.
They play their G League team, I'm pretty
correct. Sure. Yeah, there you go. Obviously, we know that Travis Trice, I think, is playing for the USA team during these World Cup qualifiers. And we obviously, down under, we know who Travis Trice is. So yeah, moving forward, I don't think those games will matter too much. And until we get to a point where we're going to be playing someone competitive or the USA versus the Boomers games come around, that's when basketball will start booming back in this country.
Yeah, it is. I do assume that it's working in Europe, though, this new model. But the tough thing is, if they're using it for qualification, you can't have different models around the world. And I guess that's where it's tough for them. They've got to try and find something that does work for everyone. I think it still needs some tweaking because there's just not that much interest. And you hardly hear anyone talk about it. If you're talking about, say, FIFA World Cup, every qualification game is huge. I know there's a lot more buzz and chatter around the... That might be because Australia's not as good. So when they're playing other teams who aren't as good, they're still close and competitive games. But there needs to either be more promotion around this from FIBA or more money put into it. But it's tough because I know you like to see the Boomers play, but they're going to beat Iran by 50.
All in all, put it this way, I'm still going to the games no matter what, but it's probably a lose-lose situation. We don't play these games, we complain, oh, there's not enough basketball, the Boomers don't play enough in Australia. We play these games and we're getting this discussion here. So in fairness, it's probably a lose-lose situation at the moment.
But the tough thing is, so I'm not 100% sure where these games are. They're both at Margaret Court, I believe. How many do Melbourne United get down to play Townsville? Oh, not Townsville. How did Melbourne United get down to play Cairns?
If Cairns come to town, they're probably getting 6,000, 6,000, 7,000.
So they're your real hardcore basketball fans in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
So you're, at the most, that's probably what you're going to get for this game, and that would be if it mattered.
Yes.
And so you're only working off a percentage of that already.
And at this stage, Margaret Court Arena probably only holds 6,000, 7,000. Yeah. So it's probably the right venue, so there you go. Nate Jawai replacing Angus Brandt. Australian Boomers play Iran and Qatar this Friday and Monday night, respectively. Let's head to some college basketball. The name you will have to remember in the future is Dejan Vasiljevic. Right now, dominating, plays for the Miami Hurricanes, and he is averaging 17.7 points per game. Season high, 20 points, 5 rebounds, and he was clutch as they defeated Bethune-Cookman 78-70. Dejan Vasiljevic, Victorian, we know a little bit about him. What is his ceiling moving forward?
Man who can shoot the absolute lights out and gets his shots up. A very entertaining player. If you've never watched him play, try and catch a game. He's lightning quick. He's got great handles and gets those shots up. Great scorer. Ceiling, he could probably earn a living playing in Europe somewhere, I think, as a really good scorer. I think he has a European passport, which is going to help him. Could easily see him coming back to the NBL and being a really good scorer in the league for a number of years. Probably prototypes as a bit more of a sixth man, but could be a really good player for a long time.
In terms of player comparison, probably the first person that comes up to my head, maybe Anthony Drimmick type player.
He's a little smaller than Drimmick and maybe a little better with the ball in his hands.
I'll put you on the spot. He's a gun shooter from beyond the arc. Can put it to the floor, but as you've mentioned, can be a little bit
Golding
undersized.
Golding Light.
Okay, yep, fair call.
I think that's probably the closest. He plays similar to Bubbles, but maybe doesn't have the top-end star talent that Bubbles has.
Jason Kadee without
a couple of
handles?
Jason Kadee without the point guard play.
Yeah, correct. There you go. We've worked our way around some explanations around Dejan Vasiljevic, but certainly a great name to keep in mind in the near future, playing really well for Miami over in the NCAA. Another player playing well in the NCAA, Jesse Hunt, plays for Eastern Washington and had two big OT games this past week.
Yeah, he had a double-double first up with 15 points, 10 boards, had three assists and two blocks as well in an OT loss to Green Bay. And then in an OT win against Missouri, he had a career-high 32 points. He shot it at 12 of 16 from the field, 12 boards and 4 assists. A really good back-to-back games there for Jesse Hunt for Washington, Eastern Washington.
So we've had some positive news, some negative news in Aussie hoops this week. Now it's time to look forward and see what I just wanna. I just wanna, that's exactly what we call. What do you want to see? What do we want to see? If you want to let us know what you just wanna, give us your best. Use the hashtag PNRPod on Twitter or comment underneath the promotion of our podcast on Facebook. Tweet us at CP_Chalmers, at C Freeman, that's S-E-E Freeman. and we'll get you on the podcast. Don't you worry. So we've got a couple of I Just Wanters. Craig, you be my guest. You're up.
Well, we saw this man in the spotlight over the weekend with a huge game winner between Melbourne and Sydney. I just want to see the money man, Mitch McCarron, get back on a team where he is the unquestionable leader. He is an absolute superstar. I know he signed for multiple years in Melbourne, and it's a great get for them. But he's playing with Golding, and he's playing with Ware, and he plays with Boone, and they've always got another good import rolling around right now. It's DJ, and...
Does he have a European out clause? I don't know, he signed for 3 years, I believe,
at the
start of this season for United. Not too sure whether there's a Europe out clause. Obviously, prior to signing with Melbourne, he wanted to go to Europe.
Yep.
Obviously, didn't work out for him. Come back down to Melbourne, and he's now coming off the bench. Yeah. Can you believe that?
Signing for 3 years, I'd assume he'd put himself in a position where he does have an European out, and the guy's a star. I think he should be playing in Europe. He is just so efficient. He doesn't do anything wrong on the floor. He can play as a point guard if you need him to. He can get some shots up quickly. He can play off the ball. He really can do it all, and he works his butt off on the floor as well, which is, I think, is underrated because he's a pretty good defender when he puts his mind to it.
Yeah, completely agree with you. You mentioned earlier about Dejan Vucevic having a European passport. That's probably one thing McCarron doesn't have, which hurts him a little bit.
Takes the import spot if he goes over there.
Has to be a restricted player when he goes over there. Hey, I just want to see... Mine's about the NBL as well. I just want to see a fourth NBL team stand up this season. Melbourne and Perth have certainly been the front runners from the opening six rounds. The Sydney Kings will come good, and they're certainly doing that right now. I know they lost to Melbourne on the weekend, but they are certainly finding their mojo right now. But it looks as though it's those three teams, then a little bit of daylight, and then the rest.
I think it's got to be one of Brisbane or Adelaide. Brisbane, I think, are very, very talented, and they've got a new import settling in. Adelaide are a great team with some legitimate MVP contenders and just added Conger. I think it might take a few weeks, but one of those two teams, maybe even both of them, will eventually get it together. And I wouldn't be surprised to see either of them make a really, really strong run heading into finals. And I think it'll be a very competitive top four, whoever is that fourth team.
You're right. I think the fourth position will be hot property come the end of the season. We know what Joey Wright can do with his men in Adelaide. You mentioned Conger being the inclusion. They're just starting to get some rhythm going as well. And Brisbane, it's been a few years since they've made the postseason. In fact, it may not have been since they were last in the competition until they disappeared. But you're right. They're just starting to find their rhythm. They've got the right squad together to be a playoff contender. And I think they're sitting in fourth currently.
They are.
But it could be a hot race between Brisbane and Adelaide. And I just hope to see one of them stand tall and really take it to the three big dogs, which is what it looks like in the NBL this season.
Just quickly, I think they need to update their website because they've still got Alonzo G listed as their starter.
We're talking about the NBL website?
No, Brisbane's website.
The Brisbane Bullets website. Alonzo G, you're no longer the starter. You're back home doing whatever you like to do in the USA. Speaking of, that's a little bit funky, isn't it? That the Brisbane Bullets could update their website. Let's head to So Funky right now. Don't feel funky to me. Don't feel funky to me. Found anything quirky throughout the week, let us know. Get on the pod, hashtag PNRpod. We'd love to hear what you see throughout each and every week in Aussie Hoops. We've got one from this week, and it's from the WNBL, Townsville and Bendigo at Bendigo Stadium. And we saw a clip throughout the week that there were multiple players and even coaches just scrounging around looking on the floor of a basketball court. What were they doing?
Yeah, not actually 100% sure what they were actually looking for, but... I mean, we even saw at one point, Susie Bakovich was just sort of hands and knees and wiping her hands over the court trying to find something. I assume it was a contact lens. Like, they're tough to see when they do hit the deck. But Simon Pritchard got involved with about 7 or 8 players at one point, looking everywhere, trying to get different angles with the light. We had people from the crowd yelling things out. Someone told Susie that it was in one place, and she was looking for ages, and then they went, sorry, I think that was a light. In the end, they just went, okay, let's get on with this game.
Well, it looked like they were on a golf green where they were crouching down, getting the read of the green where it was going to go. And then they started using their hands, trying to feel for things. And there was 12 players. Some players were off the bench looking, and the coach jumped on the court, as you mentioned, Simon Pritchard. The ref stopped, had a look around. And you're right. They said, you know what, bugger this. I reckon we've looked for about 4.5 minutes and we're not finding it. Let's just play.
It's been some weird stuff in the WNBL lately.
Oh, absolutely. And they've seemed to involve Susie Bakovich as well. That's 2 weeks in a row, Susie. What are you doing?
Well, that last season, she's got to get everything out of it.
Hey, listen, we asked for fan questions throughout the week. We've got one from Bevan via Twitter. We thank you for your input. Keep them coming. Use the hashtag PNRPod, as we mentioned. Bevan's question, New Zealand in the NBL, New Zealand's poor discipline in defense was really exposed over the weekend, yet they decided to blame the refs. What do you think needs to change for the Breakers?
I think, first of all, there's a couple of players who play big minutes on their team that maybe in the past have either not been renowned for defense, or maybe have taken a little more encouragement. You know, Ty Wesley was unbelievable on defense last year for Melbourne, but there are games and years in the past where you did see him lose focus and maybe wasn't going as hard. I wonder if after the championship, different coach, maybe they're not on him as much. It slipped a little bit, his focus. And then you're starting Corey Webster. He's a man who is very good at putting the ball in the hole, but he is not a man at very good at stopping the ball from going in the hole.
I'm glad you mentioned Corey Webster, because he's not relatively known for his defense. Another interesting one, you mentioned Ty Wesley, great point, but can be known to be very vocal if things don't go his way. Sean Long, as we all know in the NBL, big imports don't usually react well to interior defense in terms of fouling and fouling often, so he can go out and foul trouble fairly quickly. The interesting one I note was Shay Ealy was missing in the return trip back to Perth. I regard Shay Ealy as a great point guard defender, and I think that really hurt them. Obviously, they had to have Jared Weeks inserted into the lineup, and he's not well known to play that many minutes. Pat Rashard, similar to Corey Webster in that role on a defensive level. Obviously, Rashard's a better defender, but he picks up a foul or two here and there. In terms of the Breakers blamed the refs, I'm not entirely sure that's 100% accurate. I know that there might have been a fine, and Ty Wesley was certainly facing the tribunal in terms of some derogatory comments directed
once
to Michael Aylin.
Once they return after the break, I believe.
Yeah, correct. So, you know, ref bashing isn't huge in my books, but in the case of this week, it didn't help that they were playing the Perth Wildcats twice, which in NBL circles are well known to be the teacher's pet of the NBL, but wouldn't go that far. But it's certainly been well regarded that the Perth get the, you know,
well, they're also
the better end of the referees.
Also, they play
scale.
They play in a way that is nicer for referees to.
Yeah, and they're hard-nosed.
Yeah.
They're obviously defense first, and that's how, you know, they can end up working the refs over, because they play hard defense and they're going to get rewarded the other end.
I also think they'll probably, New Zealand's probably a team that'll get better as the season goes on that, and especially, as you mentioned, Long's going to get more and more used to how they're going to call him, because it is called quite differently. You see Bogut at the start of this season complaining constantly about touch fouls, and I think he seemed to stop complaining a little bit, and he's maybe getting called for a few less. It might be him adapting to how the game is called a little bit differently down here, because coming from Europe or coming from America, you're allowed a little more contact inside, especially when you're going to block the shots.
Well, it's so interesting that to note that it's more physical down here, but then they're trying to, you know, incorporate the NBA, where if you drive to the ring, any sort of contact is a foul. But somehow they say that you can be more physical in the low block in the NBA, whereas they're calling touch fouls in the low block here. So it's kind of the best, or the worst of both worlds, you want to call it. But, you know, we all look at the NBA and think that's the number one league in the world, so we're trying to imitate them.
Yeah, it is tough, especially for the players who are transitioning. And then you go and play for Australia and you might get different refs again, although the rules are very similar there in playing in the NBL in FIBA competitions. But
and then you go and sign up for the NBL All-Australian team at the end of the season and go and play in China with three Chinese refs and see how you go there.
And Long might foul out a little faster if he was playing in that competition.
So that's all for the Pick and Pop Episode 6. Thank you for your company, Craig Freeman, Steve Chalmers. We hope to join you again next week on the Pick and Pop.